Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Seriously, these brands are absolutely fantastic, and I really recommend you support them. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store, and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
This episode was recorded at Spotify Studios, LA. Hey, y'all, and welcome to Trials to Triumphs. I'm Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, but you can call me ABFJ. This week, actor, writer, and speaker Francesca Ramsey talks to me about alignment and ease. Early in her career, Francesca learned to filter the opportunities that came her way. When we're faced with work that looks great on the surface but doesn't quite align with our values, we must resist the urge to force it. The right things will always find us when we embrace ease.
Saying no in many ways is like more powerful and harder than saying yes. To not move from a place of fear, like if I don't say yes to this thing, everything is going to fall apart and I'm never going to have another opportunity. No one's ever going to want to work with me. And coming from a place of being like, you know what, this isn't for me and the right thing is going to present itself and I just have to stay the course and the right thing will align when it aligns.
Welcome to the pod, Francesca.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. Here's the thing. I have been a long admirer of yours.
Oh my
and like,
gosh.
Thankfully, we've become like actual friends.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I know. We ran into each other on the picket lines and it was like, hey, girl.
Yes.
And then I thought, wait, we've never met in person.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So actually, I want to start there. Can you tell everyone how we met?
We met picketing, you know, we were deep.
No, like how we, or maybe how we connected.
Oh, you know what? We did meet before that because it was at that riff. It was at, what is the name of that website? It was at like a conference or something, wasn't it?
Blavity.
Blavity conference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were in the green room together,
yes,
getting our whole lives,
yes,
having a time, cracking up. It was you, me, and Robin.
Yes.
Just like acting a fool and mm-hmm. having the best time together.
Yes.
But I think we had followed each other on social.
Yeah,
before
like Twitter
that.
And
we had like
Instagram.
Justin
and
we had
like, yeah.
We have all these friends in common. So it did feel like we had already known each other.
Yeah. And then we saw each other on the picket line.
Yes.
Because also you didn't live in LA.
No.
Until.
No. I moved here in 2020.
That's the thing. That's the story.
Height of
we
the pandemic.
We had like a text thread in 2020, right before the pandemic.
Oh my gosh.
We were like, oh my gosh, we're going to. It was literally like.
Let's hang out.
If it shut down, I don't know what day it was, like March 20th. It was like mm-hmm. March 19th or
yeah.
something. And it was like, oh my gosh, let's go grab brunch this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when we all thought it was going to be just 2 weeks, we were like, oh, you know what? It'll be fine. We'll come back.
Days
strong.
Later, we were quarantined.
Shut down. Yeah.
And then it was 3 years later that we got to see each other in person.
I know. Like, what is time? It's wild that I've lived here 3 years because, especially because of the pandemic, it feels like a year and a half. Because I was really inside
the house.
You
kind of missed a year. You missed
yeah,
a chunk.
I did.
For sure. Well, again, I'm obsessed with you. I think you're wonderful.
Oh.
And I'm so excited to get to know you better.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited to be on the pod.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about your beginnings.
Mm.
So you grew up in West Palm Beach, Florida.
I sure did. I don't normally disclose my Floridian status.
Why?
This early.
Oh.
I'm joking. You know, it's hard being a person of Florida. So
I'd say.
I have to, like, you know, make a self-deprecating joke.
Got
about
it.
Florida. It's hard.
But I want to hear about your beginnings.
Yes.
So what would you say West Palm Beach gave you?
Ooh, West Palm Beach gave me an appreciation for open-toed shoes year-round, baby. I went off to college and I was like, my feet are cold.
I don't have socks. I don't have boots.
I went to University of Michigan and I swear that first year, I was like, what have I done?
Yikes. That's, yeah. Shock.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. What is it? It's like thin blood. Like I, mm-hmm. when it gets to like 60 in LA, I'm like, I'm so cold. I'm
a Floridian. Yeah. So you're struggling like November through March.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I will say I've embraced it because I love like fall fashion and I mm-hmm. love like dark jeans and a boot and like a coat. Like I love that
a
stuff.
Layer.
I love a leather jacket, mm. you know, in the evening. You're having dinner on the patio.
Maybe just on the shoulders.
Yes, I love all of that. I love like a pashmina.
Yes, a pashmina.
Exactly. You got my philosophy is you have to look hot when it's cold.
Ooh, that's mm-hmm. good.
Put that on a mug.
Yes. I love that.
So yeah, Florida gave me an appreciation for like, you know, flowy dresses and sandals and big hats and big mm-hmm. sunglasses and things like that. Because I was really spoiled in that respect. Like, we would go to the beach all of the time. Yeah. I swam all the time. I was at the beach with my dad every weekend. Mm. And just, like, an appreciation for being outside in the sun. Mm.
Start clean with Clorox. Because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Paint home for me. When you close your eyes and you think about home... When you were young, what did mm-hmm. it look like? What did it feel like?
So I'm an only child.
Okay.
And my parents got divorced when I was in like first grade. So for me, home was my mom's house and my dad's house. Mm. So I was like doing my dad's house one day a week and then every other weekend. And then I was at my mom's house the rest of the time. And oh man, my room was always a mess. I've always been, you know, an artistic person that's juggling 10 projects at once.
Yeah.
So like there was always little piles of different things everywhere. I played guitar. I played piano. I was doing art classes. I was doing theater and mm-hmm. dancing. And so my walls were covered with like posters. And
I miss that. I know. Oh, that's such a time.
It was so... like scrapbooky, mm-hmm. you know, like I had a wall of Polaroids. I've always loved cameras. Wow. So I always had pictures of all of my friends and magazine clippings and just things that were inspiring to me, whether it be different celebrities or fashion spreads all over my walls.
Yeah.
And I've always had a dog, so I've always, you know, been really cuddly with my little furry friend. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, home for me was a place where I was able to nurture my creative passions.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful that my parents were just so supportive of that.
I was going to ask. They were always, like, you know, supportive of your artistic endeavors.
They've always been really supportive. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't until adulthood that I realized how privileged I was in that respect. Because so many people, their parents are like, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer, mm-hmm. you know, or when are you going to get a real job? And my parents have never been like that.
Yeah.
They're always just like, do whatever, you know, fulfills your heart. Just make sure that you work as hard as possible and do the best that you can. That's always been what my parents have asked of me.
Mm. Okay, so when you go through life and you approach moments that are either exciting or challenging or stressful or sad, whatever, what are some things that pop up in your brain that are things that your parents have imparted upon you throughout your life?
Okay, well... So when I was younger, I definitely dealt with like girls bullying me. Mm. And I remember my mom was always saying to me, you know, don't worry. And she's said this to me my whole life, and now it really rings true. But then I was kind of like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And my mom said to me, don't worry when they talk about you. Worry when they stop talking about you. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, what are you talking about? Whatever. And then, like, as I've gotten older, realizing that a lot of times that's just reflections of things that other people are dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I've had to acknowledge that myself at times where I'm like, oh, that person gets under my skin. But then if I really think about why they're getting under my skin, it's because they're doing something that, like, I kind of wish that I could do.
Ooh.
Like, I'm seeing something in them that I see in myself or I wish I saw in myself. Mm-hmm. And that we always find time to speak about and put energy towards things that are important to us, for better or for worse.
Yes.
And realizing that a lot of the times the girls that were being nasty to me or were talking about me, like, years later, were friendly. We're cool. Or I realized, like, oh, that was really not about me at all. That was about you. Mm-hmm. So that's a really powerful one that I think about.
That's great.
To this day. My dad has always really encouraged me to, like, look at the positive side of things. And his thing that he always says is life is good. Ooh. He always says life is good. Even if you're having a hard time, he always will stop and just be like, now, life is good. You're here, right? Mm. Like, despite the challenges that you're going through, you still have, you know, air in your lungs.
Yeah.
And so you have to just take those moments and go, you know what? Life is good. And so that has kind of become the mantra between us. Even if I'm in the middle of complaining, he's always like, wait a second now. Take a second. And
it's so simple, but it's so important.
And it's hard. It's hard. You know, look, we talked about this. The year has been yearing, right?
Yes.
But despite it all,
life
we're still
good.
Here.
Yeah.
You know, we're still here. Yeah. And despite everything, you know, we just have to keep pushing. And anytime I ask him, how's it going? Life is good. He never goes beyond. That's, like, the thing that he always says. And so now it's become our thing. Like, if I see it on, like, a postcard or something, I take a picture of it, I send it to him, and I'm like, oh, look, this is very you. So that's always stuck with me.
I love that. That's a good spirit to be moving in the world with.
Yeah.
And to be raised with.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were bullied.
Yeah, you know what? And I think unfortunately, like, everybody deals with negativity at every stage in their life.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily think it's like a negative reflection on those people. I think it's part of growing up, right? Like, you have insecurities, and unfortunately, you project them onto other people. And I know there were times in my life that I did that. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, that was kind of like a perspective shifting moment for me. That, like, I had so many insecurities that I was dealing with, and I was projecting them onto other people. My best friend to this day, when we met freshman year, he was like, I thought you were negative and nasty. And I absolutely was, because I was out of my element and I was insecure. And I was seeing all these other people that knew everybody, you know, because they were from Michigan. I was at University of Michigan and people were coming in with community, and I didn't have that. And so it was easier for me to, like, latch onto the one girl that I'd become friends with. And we were like,
mean girling it.
And that perspective was important for me to realize, like, I dealt with some of that when I was younger too. And it's just, like, a natural part of, not that it makes it okay.
Yeah.
But I do think that part of your growing pains is realizing that, like, the insecurities that you're dealing with are very natural and real, but you can't make them anybody else's problem. Mm-hmm. And you have to do the work to get through it. But yeah, I absolutely dealt with some of that.
What were some of those insecurities you were dealing with in college, especially? Because I want to talk about college time, because it was a very impressionable and big time in my life. So I want to hear about what it was like for you.
I think it was just kind of like, I went to acting school, like performing arts middle and high school, and I felt very confident in my acting skills and my talent. And then I went to college for acting, and I did not feel like I measured up. Mm-hmm. I was kind of dealing with, like, the imposter syndrome of what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. And maybe you've had this experience too, where you're in, like, a small theater community, and you guys are all competing for the same parts, and it's really difficult. You're like, everybody here is my competition. I can't get too close to anybody because I want to be the star of the show, you know? And I was also going to, I was on scholarship my first year, and I was around some students that were very affluent, and I didn't feel like I measured up, you know, like I had classmates that had, and I had wealthy classmates in high school, but in college it was different because I didn't get to go home. Like I went to my dorm, and like I didn't get to have the comfort of my parents. I felt really alone in that respect, and I was just like, man, I'm looking at all of these kids that are coming in with so much that I don't have, and am I really meant to be here? And as somebody that's always been funny, I was able to use my humor as like a defense mechanism. And, you know, unfortunately, like I fell victim to that negativity. And again, I'm so thankful the way that I got out of it is in our program, you had to do different art areas. So you had to do like scenes, you know, work in the scene shop, work in the costume shop, do all these different things. And so I was working in the costume shop with a girl who I wasn't really fond of, but, you know, we're working together and we really became buddies in that class. And one day she said to me, she's like, I really didn't like you when I first met you. And I said, what are you talking about? She was like, yeah, you were just like always so mean and like negative. And I was like, damn, you're right. And I was like, if I hadn't taken this class with you, I wouldn't have gotten to know you, and I actually like really like you a lot.
Wow.
And you're really, really cool. And I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, it really was just my own insecurity. And she became a really good friend.
Wow.
And
is this freshman year? Or was this
my freshman year?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you learned it pretty early in college.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. And Delon and I, who are still friends to this day, we ended up getting cast in a play together our sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And that was really when our friendship blossomed. But similarly, he was like, yeah, at first I was kind of like, I don't know. And he even said with his own insecurities, he was like, I just was like, I don't want to get caught in the crosshairs. So I'll just kind of like stay in my own lane. But then when we got to really know each other, we had a great time. And it was one of those eye-opening moments for me where I was like, I don't want to close myself off to opportunities before I even get my foot in the door because I'm letting my own insecurity stand in the way of whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing. Like this person, her name's Allison. Allison became a really good friend of mine. And I was like, I could have, if I had like kept going down that path, we would have never become friends. And like, you've been such an integral part of my life. Like, man, who else have I potentially closed myself off to just because I was too insecure to just be open to the possibility of like meeting people where they're at instead of like projecting onto them?
That's real. I remember getting to Howard, like similarly to you, you know, I was in all the plays and the choirs and all of the things my whole life growing up and like really excelled at it and was like, you know, always selected for the things.
Yeah.
And never, it wasn't hard. I was the person in high school that was acting professionally already when I was a sophomore in high school and, you know, having to leave and going to tech rehearsals and stuff like that. But I got to Howard and was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't remember necessarily feeling inadequate, but I do really feel—I remember feeling very unseen. I feel like there was—I don't know if there still is. There's a culture in theater departments that felt like it was almost like they wanted you to assimilate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like— they want everyone to kind of be the same.
Yeah, they
want to
mold you.
They want to mold you, but then they want to choose one person to be the, like, exalted one.
Yeah.
And the one that everyone looks to and says, okay, I have to be, like, such and such.
And it's also silly because I'm curious if this was your experience. Okay. our program was pretty small, mm-hmm. but like the people who were the stars in our program are not working as actors.
Yeah.
It was all the people who never got cast in anything that I see on TV and in movies all the time. And I'm like, you weren't, and again, it's not like a negative reflection of their talent. It's just like, you're in a bubble. And so in this bubble, you're the star. But what I realized is like, if I let my insecurities get to me in this space, I'm not going to make it when I get out of here.
There's no way.
If I'm feeling this way in a program full of like 75 people, well, mama, it's going to be a hard road when you get out into the real world.
And our program is far smaller than that. Like far smaller than 75 people.
Right, right. And so it's like, you know, you are in a microcosm.
You're in a microcosm.
And all of those feelings are valid. But at some point you have to say, if I really want to do this, and that's, I would argue, any creative field.
Yes.
If I really want to do this, I have to get clear on why I want to do this and what I'm working towards, because the journey is so lengthy and so windy. And if I get distracted by what everybody else is doing and how everybody else is doing, it's never going to happen for me.
Yes.
And or if it doesn't happen for you, what is it that keeps you motivated and excited and passionate that you're like, I still want to make things? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, like, the result can't be the thing that you're working towards, because you can't control the result.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know if you're going to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're going to, you know, be series regular or whatever it's going to be. You just know, I want to do the work and I really enjoy this and I'm connecting with people and I'm creating. And like, that has to be the thing.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, you know?
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
I want to know about a time when one door closed and another one opened.
Ooh, oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like that's the story of
my life. Okay, give us a couple. Give us the biggest one, whatever you want to share. But these are my favorite stories.
Okay. I was up for a job and I was like, leaving Decoded, I decided that I didn't want to do MTV Decoded anymore. Mm-hmm. I loved that show. It was really important to me. But I was really trying to pivot and really be seen as an actress and not just as a host and not stay in the social justice space. And I was up for this job and I flew to LA and I met with the producers and I met with the network.
It was an acting job.
And, it was actually a hosting job.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I really, really want this job. And the deal came in and the deal was terrible.
As
it was not a lot of money and it was like really restrictive and they were going to keep me from doing all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And my team called me, you know, when the team calls, you're like, okay, this is something.
Hey, Ashley, we have such and such for you. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you available? Yeah, I'm free.
Okay.
They patch everybody through.
Did we figure it out?
Yeah.
And the team was like, we're going to say that you should pass on this. They're making an offer, but we have, it's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so upset. And I was just like, are you sure you can't get it figured out? Like, and I was coming from a place of insecurity and wondering, like, I just turned down doing another season of Decoded. And now this thing is not working out. And my team is saying I shouldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And but I know this show is going to be on TV. This is not like a pilot. This is an order. Like, this is going to happen. Okay. It's like,
it's guaranteed work.
It's guaranteed work. It's 10 episodes. And yeah, it's not a lot of money, but like, you know, maybe the show will be a hit. And like, there was another person that was going to be hosting it with me, and she called me and she was giving me the whole, like, this is going to be it.
So she took it.
She was like, I'm doing this job.
Okay.
I think that we tested together.
Okay.
And she was really cool. I really liked her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just the deal is not great. Like, the deal's not great. And she was like, it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to be on the side of billboards and all this stuff. And I was just like, I don't know. Oof. So I decided not to do it.
Mm.
And what they ended up doing is having like a rotating host situation. Mm. And I know some friends that ended up doing it, and they were like, oh my God, the days were so long. We were flying all over the country. We had all these different reshoots. Mm-hmm. There was just all of these issues. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. That was one of those ones where I thought, oh my God, I want this so bad. And it just, it wasn't the right thing for me. Mm-hmm. And it's happened a number of times in my career where I'm like, I wanted that job really bad. And then I meet the person that got the job and they're like, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that just wasn't the right thing for me.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was my agent said to me at the time, like, when there's problems, like, in a potential project, it's not one problem. It's like one problem is telling you like there's going to be more. Mm-hmm. So like the deal had all these problems. And he was like, if you end up doing this job, it's just going to be one more thing and one more thing and one more thing. This is just like giving you a preview of it. And I didn't want to believe him because mm-hmm. I was just like, but what if I never work again? and of course, I was fine. Like I was able to work again.
Yeah.
That just wasn't the right thing for me. And again, sure enough, people that I know that ended up working on it, you know, as thankful as they were for the opportunity, it was like, yeah, girl, there was just
dodged a bullet.
There were problems at every turn in production. Mm. And so I'm trying to be, that was a really good lesson for me to like listen to the people on your team. Like they are there to see you shine.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when you're thinking like, they don't know, like, this is the thing. Like, sometimes it's good to listen to them. Like, they have foresight. They understand the business. They work for you. You know, they're not just trying to rain on your parade. Like, they actually are looking out for you.
And before anything else, you must be valued.
Mm-hmm.
If you are ever in a situation and you are questioning the way any potential job is valuing you,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be a no.
Right, because it doesn't end there.
No.
Like, if they're lowballing you at the start, they're going to lowball you, you know, elsewhere. They're going to be like, hey, you can change by the pig trough. And you're like, but what about, I don't have a trailer? No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, you were okay with us lowballing you here, so we're going to lowball you here.
And we can't conflate people seeing your talent
mm-hmm.
and seeing your value.
Right.
Talent and value are two different things.
Right. Because sometimes people see the talent and they think, oh, I can use this to my advantage and I can manipulate this and I can use this person versus, oh my gosh, this person's really talented and they're going to be additive to this project. Mm-hmm. They're going to make this. And that is not just acting, right? That's anything. Like you could be going for a corporate job.
Yes.
And they say, oh, this person's talent is going to make our business better.
Yes.
Versus, oh, I can use this person and we're going to have huger profits because I'm going to pay them less. And I know they're going to do good work, but they're going to add to my pocket and my bottom line, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So you are absolutely right. Thinking about your value. And that also just comes with like time, experience, and also just self-confidence. And similarly to that story that I was telling you, getting to a place where you're not thinking of every opportunity as this is the last one. If I don't say yes to this thing, and that's been really eye-opening for me to realize that, like, saying no in many ways is, like, more powerful and harder than saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
To not move from a place of fear. Like, if I don't say yes to this thing, everything is going to fall apart and I'm never going to have another opportunity. No one's ever going to want to work with me.
Yeah.
And coming from a place of being like, you know what, this isn't for me and the right thing is going to present itself.
Yeah.
And I just have to stay the course and the right thing will align when it aligns. And this isn't the one. And it's maybe going to be worse for me to do something that doesn't align with my values or isn't setting me on the path towards the thing that I'm working towards.
Yeah.
Because then I get locked up in this thing and then the real thing comes along. And
there's nothing worse than when the real thing comes along and you recognize it. That goes for even like dating, like people.
Yeah.
You settle in a relationship and the person you're really supposed to be with, you know, is presented in front of you and you're like, what? I have so many, that thankfully didn't happen to me, but I have a lot of friends that has happened to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just really important, I think, that we always believe in better.
Yeah.
We all deserve better. And better is always coming.
Yeah.
But you can't take less than what you deserve and then think that you can also be available for better because right. space has already been occupied.
Yeah. That's so real.
As you were talking, I was realizing for me, something that's really helped me is the understanding that I'm someone who always needs to feel an incredible amount of purpose. Mm. But life doesn't always give you that.
Yeah.
You sometimes have to like, sometimes it's given to you in like a new opportunity. Assisting a family member, having a child, being partnered, whatever. There's things that are coming that can add purpose to your life. And there's other times when you kind of feel like,
I don't know.
You don't know. You just kind of, you're living, you kind of feel like you're existing. And you realize that you don't have a lot of control. You don't have any control,
right,
really,
right,
over anything.
That was like my biggest pandemic lesson.
Oof.
I was like, I'm such a type A control freak. We never had any control.
Yeah.
You really thought
that yeah, it's impossible to not learn that through the pandemic.
Yes.
But what I've learned recently, or what I feel like I'm like starting to kind of master, is that even in the moments in my life that feel like an extreme lull, like this year has felt in a lot of ways, for me personally, like a lull.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of felt like it's been incredibly difficult, dealt with some of the most difficult things I thought I would ever deal with in 12 months. It felt like a lot of things crashed down. But what I've started to master is that everything is still preparing me for something.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is wasted. I said this like in like my birthday, like the things that I kind of like have learned from the year. I like to do like a little like reflection moment. And that might have been my favorite out of the 12, is that nothing's wasted.
Yeah.
Even in this year that feels like a lull, it's still preparing me for something. You have to go to the valley,
yeah,
to reach the summit and for the summit to mean something. If you just start like a couple steps from the top, then you get to the summit and you're like,
you don't even appreciate it.
You don't appreciate it. And you're like, this was easy.
Yeah.
I had to step two little steps on Mount Everest. Like,
yeah.
Ugh, Mount Everest.
You have to earn it in whatever way earning it means for you.
In whatever way it means for you. And you have to believe that you're being prepared for something bigger.
Yeah.
And this year has been a valley year. It's been a like I am like in the valley looking up like, woo, that is, how high is that? Like I literally, but if I have the thought to look up, then I know that I'm headed there.
Yeah.
You know?
I love how you just, like, speak in quotables. I feel like everything I'm like, oh, my God, the valley to get to the summit, if I looked up, I'm going to get there. I was like, oh, my God, put this on a magnet, on a journal.
Like, a tote bag.
Yes.
Like, we making merch. Please. But, yes, thank you for the – but, like, that's how I get through, though,
yeah.
Is I have to see my life.
Yeah.
In quotables. I have
yeah.
to speak about my life and the lives of others in quotables because that's how you get through. And it's times like this when I'm going to see you next year this time and we're going to be like,
girl.
You know the sister where we're like, girl.
Yeah, yes. Oh, claim it.
Remember that valley?
I'm ready.
And we're holding hands at the summit.
Yeah.
But we had to talk about the valley.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this podcast is all about. I want to know what's going on in the valley. What's up in the valley?
Yeah.
Because the valley is what gives you strength to get to the summit. Anyway, I love that we went to church again.
Yes.
I want to talk actually about your podcast.
Mm,
let me
yes.
fix it.
Yes.
So talk to me about how it came about.
Okay, so on the topic of valleys,
So
my best friend Delon and I, who I've mentioned many
times. Who you've been
times,
on vacation with.
Who I went on vacation yes. with. He's basically my second husband. We actually pitched this podcast to a network 2 years ago, and our deal took 2 years to close. And it was 2 long years of being like, is this going to happen?
Yeah.
Is this going to happen?
Are we going to get any money for this?
Are we going to get any money for this? Is this a real thing? And, you know, shout out to my lawyers, making sure that the deal was all good. And it really came out of the fact that when we met in college, we got cast in this performance art show together where we had to write all of these pieces together. And we wrote these sketches about our experiences being the only Black people in a number of like predominantly white institutions. And it really bonded us. And we just realized like, wow, we are like two sides of the same coin. Like we just, if I stub my toe, DeLon has stubbed his toe. Like, it's like, we are just like simpatico.
Everybody, I have a friend like that too. That's Angelique for me. We're like, how are we going through the same thing at the same time?
We are always going through the exact same thing. Yes. Always going through the same thing. And so we've been trying to figure out something to work on ever since we worked together in college. And it just, we've never found it. And it was 2020. So we were, you know, during the pandemic, DeLon was on Broadway. His show had, you know, shut down because of the pandemic. And we were just on the phone yapping it up. And we naturally always start talking about careers or things that we miss. Oh, I miss this show. God, if the show was back, here's who I would put in it. Mm-hmm. And here's what this should be.
Yeah.
Or why has it? We were talking about Christina. We always talk about Christina Aguilera. I want Christina.
What's up with her?
Christina, I would love for you to do a cabaret, just you and a piano off Broadway, you know, almost like how Springsteen did a musical review. We just always do this, right? And so we said, is this a podcast? I feel like us talking about things in this proactive way because, you know, there are lots of pop culture shows where we're just, you know, talking trash, which I love. But I like the aspect of it's almost like an intervention, but less stakes. We're like, let me hold your hand, girl.
Yes.
I love you. Let's figure this out together. And so it became what is now Let Me Fix It. And I learned so much. Every episode, we do a deep dive into different celebrities. Mm-hmm. We just talked about Eartha Kitt and why doesn't she have a biopic? Mm-hmm. We need a movie about this woman's life. So we like did all this research about her history and then we kind of like dream casted who we would have in the movie. We look into different brands. We recently did one about Blockbuster and how Blockbuster could have purchased Netflix and they turned them down.
Yeah.
And now look at you. You feel real silly.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, could Blockbuster come back? Ooh. And if they did, what would it be? Maybe it's a production company.
Ooh.
Maybe it's like a behind the scenes moment behind the Blockbuster. Every time you watch a movie, it's like the director's cut is brought to you by Blockbuster.
Yeah.
So it's, again, it's very proactive and it combines all the things that DeLon and I love. I went to school for graphic design. I worked in marketing. DeLon's an actor, but he's also a writer. He's also a photographer. We love looking at things in like a cohesive way, like the name, the colors, the location, all of that stuff. And so it's such a great reflection of our friendship. And we always infuse a lot of personal stories.
Yeah.
It's very much nostalgia, but also branding and pop culture. So it's been really, really fun to work on.
Well, it's fabulous.
Thank you.
And, you know, I was watching you on Instagram fix something. You're always, every day, you're fixing something. And I had this thought I wanted to share with you. Mm-hmm. I was like, Francesca is so talented. Like, the way your brain works, the way it can fix things.
Yeah, thank you.
And the way you can articulate it. I literally had this vision. I was like, brands and companies need to hire her.
We're already working. This is the ease that I'm talking about.
Okay, because
I literally said, I'm not kidding you. I was talking to my therapist about you. And I was like, she was talking about ease. And I'm like, I need ease. And I said, I don't want to run to people for jobs. I want people to come to me.
Yes.
And to your point about, I want people to say, Francesca, we need help with our social media. We need help with our marketing. Yes. What do you think? And I can just be like, this is what I would do. Let's change this. Let's do da 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 da. That is one of the things that I am like manifesting for next year.
Oh my God. It's happening.
It's happening.
I literally was watching and I was like, she could be like the top person in the field of like, I don't know what it's called, but like
I decided.
Let's give it a name.
I want to be Olivia Pope, but for brands.
Yes.
Like I will come in and I'm like, here's what we're going to do. We're changing the logo. We're changing the name. We're wiping the Instagram. We're making a donation to this charitable organization because you really messed up. Mm-hmm. And we need the people to see that you are committed towards being better and learning from this moment. We're starting a charity. We're starting a scholarship program. I want to tell people what to do.
But you are so good at it. And let me tell you what your secret is.
Yes, tell me.
I don't know if you know it, but I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
You're genuine.
Thank you.
You're genuine. Because I just got chills. The thing is, you will do this. And you will make a lot of money doing it.
I thank you for saying that. This has been something, it's so funny that you say this. Because this is something I've been thinking about. And we talked about this when we were at lunch. Where I was like, you know, I've had a great career in Hollywood. I'm really thankful. I've gotten to do a lot of great things.
Yeah.
But I'm also at a place where I don't want to, hey, will you please hire me? Will you please hire me? And that is, unfortunately, the nature of our business. And I want to be in a space where I'm like, you know my talents. You know my worth. You come to me and tell me how we can work together and let's make it happen. And I have so much experience working in branding, working as a graphic designer, working as a writer, working as an actress, working as a host, working as a public speaker, writing book. Like I've done all of these things. I have so much knowledge and I love helping people.
Yeah, you genuinely. You're genuine. I see that.
I love it.
And I'm telling you, it is going to happen. And you are going to continue. You're going to continue to be the actor, the writer. Yeah. You don't have to choose, Francesca.
And
you don't.
Thank you for saying all of that.
What I want to offer you
is
to remember the little girl who had a lot of piles in her room.
My God, she is a professional host. She said, a callback? We looping it all the way back. Ashley, you are a pro.
Thank you. I want to do more of this in my career. I want to do more of this.
Listen, the quotables have been quoting. For you to pull it back to the girl with the piles.
Yes, because that's who you've always been. So just remember, it's who you are. And somehow you knew what was going on in all the piles and you didn't get them mixed up and you were able to handle them all. So just remember, it's in you.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to work for you. And I'm so excited to see like how we're making our way up the mountain to the summit, girl.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm excited.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited too. You are just an absolute delight.
Thank you so much. Okay. What has been your takeaway from our conversation today?
Oh my gosh. I mean, my personal takeaway is that I didn't cry. I felt it a few times. I'm like, girl, the makeup, don't do it. Shout out to me because I have felt a little emotional. But what I'm really so thankful for is that we have like fostered this new friendship. And when I mentioned, I genuinely did mention you to my therapist, the ease thing, because I was generally so inspired. And I'm genuinely inspired by the way that you have poured into me in this conversation, but the way that you talk about your community and the people that you love, it's so beautiful. And it's something that has really blessed me in the short time I've gotten to know you. And it makes me really excited to continue like fostering this relationship with you. Like it feels like, you know, to use your summit and valley analogy, it's like we're at the beginning of a journey and it feels like, oh my God, if it's this good, at this part of the journey, like what's it going to be like a few years from now when we're like really tight, and so that's really wonderful. And I think in that same vein, the fact that you've created this space for yourself is really inspiring. I think a lot of all creatives, but especially actors, I think oftentimes are waiting for opportunities to come to them. And they're like, I'm waiting for the job. And you did something really beautiful by being like, no, I'm going to create a thing. Mm. And I'm going to carve out a lane for myself. And not only carve out a lane for yourself, create a space that's about celebrating other people. And I think just through this conversation, it really speaks to who you are, that you're about uplifting and empowering other people, and then it just empowers you. And that's really beautiful. I feel like we all need more of that in this world. So I'm genuinely so honored that you asked me to be a part of your show. I feel so seen, and that's something I really do. Yeah, I feel really, really seen.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh my God, don't.
I know.
Excuse me.
My takeaway is you are such an example to me of you are who you say you are. Mm. Like, you are exactly who you say you are, and I want to be more mindful of being, of understanding that if nobody else understands that about myself, I do. Mm-hmm. I am who I say I am. You don't have to get it, but I get it. And the knowing that I get it is going to take me all the places I need to go. Not that I want to go.
Yes.
But that I need to go. That's the thing. You've reminded me that, like, there's a lot of things I want to do. But I truthfully only want to do what I'm purposed to do.
Right.
And seeing you.
And sometimes you don't know.
Like, I'm sure this season of your life kind of took you by surprise.
Oh, it really, really did. It really, really did. This whole year has been a lot of like, what am I doing?
But guess what? The beauty of it, though, is that you have people like me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure so many other people in your life who love you and see you that are like, oh, we're not like this. We're like,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
That you are in the sweet spot. And so I want to be more mindful of when the people in my life are doing that for me and to believe them.
Yeah.
I'm not believing anybody anymore.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you for that reminder. Oh. And thank you for coming on. I honor you and I love you so much. I'm so proud of you.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. This has been incredible.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by LWC Studios for OWN. The show's executive producer is Juleka Lantigua. Our managing producer is Fatima Elswifi. Shanice Tyndall is our lead producer. Jordan Thompson is our marketing coordinator. This episode was mixed by Trin Lightburn. Michelle Baker is our video editor. This episode was recorded at Spotify Studios, LA. Promotional consideration, products and services furnished by Spotify. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we hope you did, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and review wherever you listen to your podcast to ensure you hear the next one.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because I had a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.